Good evening. It's good to see you. Glad you've come to worship with us tonight, celebrate and to sing. Hope you have a brochure that has the songs in it and the order that we're going to use. And it's also information is in the hymnal if you need that. So anyway, this is Advent time, time of celebrating. Advent means He's coming. And you know, originally, Advent was celebrated to recognize that He's coming again. And after several hundred years, I don't know how it morphed and changed, it became He's coming and talking about Christmas. And so we just do them both. And we light candles because it just helps to remind us of the anticipation, the hope that we have. That's the first candle, and the faith that we walk in. That's the second candle. The joy that we have as we experience Him and see Him at work. That's what we talked about this morning. And then peace. And no matter what's going on, even in 2020, peace. Because He's in charge. And so, Advent, He came, He's coming, and we celebrate. And that's what we're going to sing about tonight. I want to light these candles to remind us of the hope and the faith and the joy.
Yes!
Let's pray together. Lord, we celebrate Your coming, and we anticipate Your coming. Help us to enjoy worshiping You tonight, and I pray that You would enjoy it too. In Jesus' name, amen. Richard?
I'd like to tell you about the song I'm going to be playing on the trumpet tonight. As a Christian, you know, we sometimes forget that God shows us or puts us in a pretty dark place and a dark time at times in our lives. Think about where we are in this world right now. It's a pretty dark place. However, there's joy in the morning coming. Think about the younger generation. So, how confusing this world is right now. I chose this song because it is more current than many of the songs we sing at Christmas time, but it's one of my favorites. It's a perfect way, in every way, for a Christmas season, this Christmas season that we're in. This song, Breath of Heaven, I'm sure you've heard it, by Amy Grant, was rearranged a few years ago in 2011 and is a cry of anguish, a cry for help. It's about Mary, who was just a young girl, a young lady that had never been with a man. She was a virgin, yet she was pregnant. This song is also called, besides Breath of Heaven, Mary's Song. And here are the words of this plea to our God and our Savior. I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside. And I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, You have come and chosen me now to carry Your Son. I'm waiting in silent prayer. I'm frightened by the load I bear. In this world cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be with me now. Breath of Heaven, hold me together. Be forever near me, Breath of Heaven, Breath of Heaven. Lighten my darkness. Pour over me Your holiness and Your holy Breath of Heaven. Do you wonder as you watch my face? For be forever near me, Breath of Heaven. If a wiser one could have chosen, you should have chosen for my place. But I offer Him all I am, for the mercy of Your plan. Help me be strong. Help me be. Help me, breath of heaven.
Thank you. I've thought at night, about our Savior as a baby. Did he cry or was he quiet? Did his precious Mother Mary sing to him a lullaby? As he lay there in the manger, was he quiet or did he cry? I know the angels sang, glory to a newborn king. Present the royal diadem, a king is born in Bethlehem. But I wonder, yes, I wonder, many times throughout the years, as he lay there in the manger, was he quiet or did he cry? I know the angels sang, glory to a newborn king. Present the royal diadem, a king is born in Bethlehem. But I wonder, yes, I wonder, many times throughout the years, as he lay there in the manger, was he quiet or did he cry? As he lay there in the manger, was he quiet or did he cry?
I'm going to be reading from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
And when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart to peace according to your word. For the eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined to fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, prophetess and daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age and lived with husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who had not departed from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem.
With Mary we believe. as tender with sweetness fills the air, dispels with glorious splendor the darkness everywhere. True man, yet very God, from sin and death he saves us and lightens
walked, nor just trod It was a cold December day in 1818 in the town of Oberndorf in Tyrol in the Austrian Alps. Josef Mohr, the assistant priest in the newly erected church of St. Nicholas, was dismayed to find that the organ would not function and needed repair. There would be no special music for the Christmas Eve Mass. Father Mohr decided to write his own hymn. He took his words to the church organist and town schoolmaster, Franz Gruber. He and Gruber had often talked about the fact that the perfect Christmas song had never been written. When Gruber read the text, he exclaimed, "Friend Mohr, you have done it." That night, Gruber took on the task of writing the music. The hymn was completed in time for the Christmas Eve service. Mohr and Gruber sang it with the accompaniment of Gruber's guitar. The hymn had a deep impact on the parishioners, just as it has on different and future generations. A few days after Christmas, the organ repairman took a copy of the hymn and it spread around the region as a folk song. It was first published in a German hymnal in 1838. A group of Tyrolean singers brought it to the United States in 1839. It has since been translated not only into English, but many other languages, and is one of the most well-known Christmas hymns since then.
Sleeping, angels round him watch are keeping. Still, 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 the night is calm and still. Sleep, 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 sweet Jesus, softly sleep, while Mary sings and gently holds you safely in her arms. arms enfolds you. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Sweet Jesus, softly sleep. Dream, dream, dream of the joyous day to come. While guardian angels without number watch you as you sweetly slumber. Dream, dream, dream of the joyous day to come.
The heavens shimmer on the
The reason I wanted to have candle lighting on the third Sunday of Advent is because of joy. And the joy, as we defined it this morning in the sermon, joy is when God's people see God act, and it's the emotion they feel when they see Him do what He's going to do. That's exciting. As we saw this morning in Isaiah chapter 9, as there was great rejoicing and excitement as the people saw Him act in His work. But as I was writing that sermon, what I was really thinking about was not in Isaiah, but I was thinking of Luke. And I was thinking of a couple of 80 or 90 year olds that had been waiting for a long, long time to see God's act. And they'd been there worshiping week in, week out. I don't know how old Anna was. It said she'd been a widow for 80-some years, maybe 100. She's been looking for a long time. And then into the temple area walks Mary and Joseph, and the Spirit quickens Simeon. And He says, that's them. And He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for Him the custom of the law, then He took Him into His arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, You are releasing Your bondservant to depart in peace according to Your word. For my eyes have seen Your salvation, which You prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of Your people Israel. Do you know He's quoting Scripture? You have any idea where He might be quoting? Since we've been looking at Isaiah, there's just a real good possibility. You're right. But what's interesting about it is as He quotes Isaiah, the footnotes, if your Bible has footnotes or you have those electronic, you know, search engines and you click on it, and it's going to give you 5 or 6 or 7 verses. Because they can't nail it down. Because Isaiah is full of this comment that God is going to bring the light to the Gentiles, and there's going to be this partnership between Israel, the glory of God, and the Gentiles. Well, I'm just going to read a few of them. Some of them you'll recognize. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you and His glory will appear on you. Nations, Gentiles, will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Arise, Israel, and shine. And the nations will come and worship the Lord. Isaiah 49, speaking to the servant, who is Jesus, he says, God says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Isaiah 42. I am Yahweh. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Do you hear repeated over and over again what we saw in Isaiah 9 this morning? The people who were in darkness have seen light. Who is it that can change darkness to light? Only one, God. And let there be light. And he's been saying it ever since. But one I like is Isaiah 19. I like them all. But one that I want to point out today, Isaiah 19. In that day, verse 23. Do you remember that from this morning? In that day. What is that day? It's the day that God acts. There's so many of those days, but then there's that day. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Who were the people that were opposing them in the 8th century BC? Egypt and Assyria. And the Assyrians will come into Egypt and the Egyptians into Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be the third party with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth when Yahweh Sabaoth has blessed, saying, this is God saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. That's the story of Isaiah. God is at work bringing light to the nations through Israel. And he did it. He did it when he said, for unto us is born this child. The invasion that began in a manger and goes to all the nations so that all might hear and know. The reason I wanted to have candle lighting on the third Sunday is because of joy. When all the nations see Jesus and they hear about him. And what we're doing is we're lighting candles and leaving an offering because we're saying we want to be a part of sending missionaries around the world so that people can hear. And if you've ever seen the light come on in people's eyes when it finally makes sense, and they go, oh, and in whatever language they have, in whatever words they have to speak, they have joy. That's what we want. That's what we want to participate in. So, we're going to light some candles and leave an offering. Maybe you left an offering last week, or you're going to next week, or you're not going to because of some reason, but you can come up and you can light a candle, acknowledging that you're part of a process of bringing light to the world. And if you have an envelope that says Lottie Moon Christmas Offering for Foreign Missions around the world, you can leave it in the two offering plates that are there. And if you don't have an offering, an envelope, doesn't matter. Whatever goes in that plate tonight goes overseas, period. Because we want to be a part of what Isaiah was a part of. Seeing the light go out and about. What I'm going to ask you to do is take your time. I'm going to go light that gold candle. And then you're just going to come up one or two or three at a time. Don't get in a rush. Don't forget, we're supposed to be social distancing. But really, we don't have to rush. We're going to be listening, and this is quietness. This is praise of the Lord, who's big enough to take the light all around the world. And we come up one or two or three or however you want to, and you take one of the little tea candles and light it, and then put it down, say a prayer, and then go back to your seat. Would you go that way? So we don't bunch each other up. Go that way. And just a logistic suggestion. The first of you, would you take the candle from the back and set it back down in the back so that the people that come from behind you don't have to reach over the flame? Yeah. Let's pray together. Lord, Isaiah heard you say over and over again, more than any other book in the Old Testament, how you put that in his mind through your Spirit is just amazing, that you intended for all of the nations in the world to see you. May we, in just this little bit, be a part of that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, when the nations see God act and they love Him, what happens? Joy. Joy for those who look to Him and love Him. And so that's what we're sending around the world. Let's stand together and sing page number 87, or it's in your brochures. Joy to the World. Let's sing together. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. Yes, good. It's so good to have you today. It's so good to celebrate the Lord together with the songs. It's so good to read His Word together. It's so good to let other people know that they can hear it too. You're welcome to stay. Come on downstairs and enjoy yourselves. And, well.
We got lots of cheese.
What happened to the cookies? Yeah, okay. Hey, let's pray. Lord, thank You for the fellowship and the food. Thank You for the time around Your word and around Your songs. In Jesus' name, amen.